North Carolina. It's the Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
I'm number two.
And I'm the new number one.
Yeah! What's it like being the new number one?
You know, like Jack said, it doesn't feel any different.
You don't get moved up to VIP lounge or anything like that? Special treatment.
Let's welcome to the show Jorge Garcia, Hurley is now the new protector of the island. I mean, big deal. It's a big deal. So, like, how do you feel? Like, you're a fan of the show. What do you feel about Hurley being the new number one?
It's great. They actually came to my house to videotape me reading the finale script. It actually for like the DVD extras.
Oh, awesome.
And he came out and they delivered it, and then, you know, they really just sat there and watched me read it. And then every now and then I try to say something because I'm just sitting there reading it. And like Beth was in the room, and Beth's cousin and her friend were visiting at the time. And suddenly there's a moment when I get to that part, that scene where he says, it's supposed to be you, in that whole moment,
mm-hmm.
that they felt the energy change in the room because they all started turning to look at me because they felt something weird was going on, and there's like tears streaming down my face.
Oh.
It's when Jack took the mantle mm-hmm. over in the previous episode. There were two things there that felt like this story isn't over yet, because Hurley had to say, "I'm just glad it's not me."
Exactly.
And then when Jack asks Jacob, "How long do I do this?" and he says, like, "As long as you can," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those was definitely evidence that there's a chance that it may go to someone else. And Foxy and I were always like, it's going to be me or you. You know, it's not going to be anyone else. I'm pretty sure it's going to be either of you. And so it's kind of like the way you wrap everything up real neat at the end, where it's like the Jack, Kate, and Sawyer thing. It's like you get both. You know, she chooses both in a way. I mean, she gives Jack that big kiss at the end, but, you know, she's still leaving with Sawyer.
Wait, and
in the other world, you know, she's the one who helps Jack, you know, come to, you know, his wake up. And in the same way, you know, we don't just pick one Jacob. We give you two Jacobs.
Only problem with that, it's hurting our contest, because I have, who does Kate choose? I have her choosing Jack.
Well, I think in the end, like, in the sideways, which is after, like, yeah. their lives, she kind of picked him.
Well, see, that was just foolish of you to come up with that as a question. Have you learned nothing from this show?
You know, I've
tried. It's like, from the very beginning, the first time when Carlton joined the show, Damon and Carlton came out to Hawaii just so we could, like, kind of meet Carlton, and we hung out for a little bit. And we were at the Fox's house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment when Damon said something like, you know, he says, you know, we can do anything. He says, we can have a finale at the end where these helicopters come and pick everybody up. And everyone thinks, all right, now the show's over. But who knows where those helicopters are going to land?
Right.
And he's very much about, you know, if you paint yourself into a corner, climb up on the walls and then the ceiling and continue painting.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so that fearlessness. And I was always really impressed by the way they would set up problems for them to figure out over the course of a season. You know, like, we know who the Oceanic Six are. Now let's figure out how they actually get off.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of jumping in that sense in time that we done since the beginning, and I think that was always really cool.
Well, looking back on it now, I think it fits really nicely together, like a lot of the stories, the story arcs. I think they did a really good job kind of mirroring the seasons, especially with season one and season six being really about discovering the characters, and season six was like rediscovering the characters. And yeah. Looking back, I think it really did a good job with placing all the pieces together.
Yeah, I think so too. It's when you see things as a whole, you know, when you can step back, there's a lot, it's a lot clearer picture, I think, over the overall vision. Like the whole controversy of Across the Sea, how many people hated it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people turned around almost immediately after they saw episode 16 because, you know, you kind of needed that little Across the Sea information to see the, you know, the new Jacob ceremony thing exactly, happen right. too. So it kind of, you know, it has to be kind of taken in context.
Yeah, and I want to say earlier when you're talking about the kind of the scene between you and Matthew Fox when he's telling you, you know, it's got to be you as yeah. as the next Jacob. Like, to me, like, that little scene reminded me, like, gave me tears, like, the end of Lord of the Rings where Samwise Gamgee tells Spoiler. Frodo, maybe I can't carry the ring, but I can carry you. Like, it had that kind of emotional resonance for me, like, watching it.
Cool.
A question I was going to have, I had this when I was on the plane last night. I was watching again. Is it going to be easy? I was thinking maybe it'd be easy for you to answer questions now because you know the answers. You don't have to sit there and play, I don't know. But then I was thinking, there's so many questions still not answered. Is that going to be hard? People are going to say, we've got questions, well, how did Hurley die? What once he was on the island, he took over. How did he die? I mean, is that going to be hard to answer those questions?
No, because I have no idea how he died. I mean, that's and I'm fine not knowing how he died. That's like for, you know, Lost to the Next Generation to be somehow created later. I mean it's open to however you want. That wasn't part of this volume of the story. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, we know it happened.
Right.
But, you know.
How did you feel about the Flash sideways?
I know a little bit more information. There is some stuff that's going to be addressed exactly. in a DVD release, which I was a part of. But I'm not going to give any other details beyond that.
Oh, okay, because okay. that was Michael cool. Emerson revealed that
what yesterday. What did he say?
He said it's going to be an epilogue about 15 minutes or so telling a little bit of the story about Hurley and Ben as number one and number two, and it's going to be part of the complete series collection.
Oh, that explains why people have been emailing me to see if I could confirm it or deny it.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of all the questions.
He spilled the beans.
There is a... Well, what there is a thing that's definitely going to address some unanswered questions that did not fit into making this season that will be in the DVDs.
All right, that's cool.
Because Malcolm David Kelly was at our party, and he said he filmed scenes, too, that weren't in there. Is there going to be, like, an extended edition as part of the complete series?
Extended edition of what?
Like, the final episode? Or are they just going to keep it as, like...
Oh, you mean, will there be one that's even longer than that?
Yeah.
Even longer than 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, the way it was explained to me at one point, because when I shot something, I was like, so how is that actually going to be on the DVD? And it says some section will be something like unanswered questions or something along those lines.
Oh, really?
It'll be like, here's another little piece. And then it'll play there.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that'll satisfy the people who hated this episode because of it? I mean, seriously, I mean, there's those people that go...
I don't think you're going to satisfy them ever.
I mean, I'm not criticizing people who didn't like it, but I don't understand it. I was perfectly satisfied with the ending.
We can't expect to satisfy everybody.
Right.
and we obviously knew that going into it. So, you know, pretty much from the finale of season one, there had been suddenly a series of communications of people who were disappointed. We blast the hatch door open. Why didn't they go down it already? Now we gotta wait all summer to, you know, why are they down there all this time now? Working on the computer, to, you know, and so it's like I remember there's the first Comic-Con I went to, there was someone in the audience who was like, so did you notice, you guys got like all these like awards and nominations for like your first season, and not so much in season two. Oh,
I remember that. We were there.
Yes. You know why? I mean, I have my reasons why, but you said something like that. Like, I think I know why, but do you guys know why? Something along those lines.
I think we were behind them in line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, great. He's going to tick them off, and I have to go ask my question. Nice screening.
So it's kind of, you know, it's so
I was terrified anyway.
Can't anticipate that, you know, we're going to satisfy everybody.
We've had hate mail for liking it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
One guy said, how could you have cried in this episode? Like, when you burst open crying, I'm like trying not to cry in public because we're in the theater. But when I was tearing up there, but when Vincent laid next to Jack.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, because I was a Lassie fan. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to tear up.
It's actually funny, Colleen and I were talking about it in the restaurant the next day, and she's like, and then when Vincent laid down, and then I just had tears in my eyes, just like, oh my God.
Then I was watching
it. Fun seeing it in the theater, wasn't it?
It was a blast.
Oh, it was awesome.
People were like, cheering. It was just, it was great.
When we saw it in the Giacchino event, it was such a great place to see it, and just because 16 has got this great pace to it,
mm-hmm.
when you see stuff happening, and the whole, you know, we have to go to a concert kind of thing, or yeah, all the stuff that Desmond was doing when he was getting everyone to start, you know, wake up. It was really kind of fun being there in the audience and experience it with an audience. Same thing, all that stuff with Ben after he kind of basically sells his soul.
Yeah,
right. But we had people cheering. They were crying. When you were talking to Jack, Hurley was talking to Jack, and you start tearing up, people are going, you could hear people kind of, you know, holding it back behind you and around you. It was just...
It was cool.
In the scene where... Oh, go ahead.
Go.
The scene where Jack and Locke are having that final fight scene, and Jack jumps in the air, and they cut to commercial, you hear, oh!
What was the most badass scene ever?
I couldn't believe... I mean, it's definitely like, did they get Larry Fong back to shoot this one? Because it's very 300.
Yeah.
Kind of very epic.
It was great.
I was surprised that they got that shot. I was like, sweet. Like, it like felt like from there it was going to go into like a really awesome like Hong Kong, you know, type of movie with like where they're like they're flying in the air and they're standing on the swords. Yeah, exactly.
What I thought was great, because before we did a little panel with Michael Emerson, four people were complaining about Kate and how much, and someone said, I love Kate episodes, and people booed. But at that, when she shot Man in Black, everyone applauded. So I thought,
that seemed to be the consensus that I was finding. Because I was, this season, there was so much, when I was listening to like other podcasts as well, just kind of like, when did people just start hating Kate so much? I understand it, but I'm glad to see that a lot of people did kind of come around afterward.
Now, I've heard that Terry accidentally stabbed Matthew Fox. Is that true?
That is true. There is... where'd you hear it?
We've heard it on Twitter and stuff like that.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. We talked about it on ours. There's a moment where there's this whole long process of basically we had there's the collapsible knife, but the collapsible knife didn't photograph right or something. And so they were going to do a little trick where They start with the real knife, and then Terry like reaches over and switches knives, and then he stabs him with the collapsible. In just that one moment, they use the collapsible. And they were trying to fit a pad on Foxy that looked right and, you know, worked, that would protect him. And at one point, there was even a moment where they're like, you know what, you know, forget the pad. It'll be fine. And our stunt coordinator was like saying, no, use a pad. Because even getting stabbed with a collapsible knife hurts. And, you know, so you'll still want the pad there. And they, during the whole thing, the switch, Terry didn't do the switch because, you know, I think the whole time they were using the collapsible. So that was, like, not in, like, the, maybe not in, like, the muscle memory that you get when you do rehearsals a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed it, and he stabs him with the real knife. Now, the knife is dull. So it wasn't going to go in like a sharp knife would.
Mm-hmm.
But of all the pads that they had to use as a, available to them, only one of them actually had Kevlar. And it happened to be the one that was on him at the time. So
Wow. The
knife only got like, you know, a small indentation into the Kevlar.
Would that be any outtakes?
It scared the crap out of. I mean, Terry was probably. I think Terry. Foxy says that Terry basically like turned white and like was really got scared. Got really freaked out. But everything worked out fine. And,
I hadn't heard that.
And we were sitting there joking, being like, "Man, that really makes everyone forget about Michael Emerson's black eye now."
Yeah, he talked about that at our party. And
the stabbing?
No, getting punched. but, you know, just watching this episode and seeing, like, how intense the scenes were, how difficult was it to shoot this episode? I mean, it looks so grueling with the rain and the rocks being thrown. I mean, all this stuff. I mean, how was that?
It was hard. And then we had to go back and... we had to reshoot something with like the falling tree because there was a part that got messed up or something. It was like Emerson. Did he talk about being face up under that tree?
No, he didn't talk anything about what was in that episode. Yeah. Which he was on before.
Oh, he was like he does the scene. He pushes Hurley out of the way, and the tree falls on him.
Yeah,
and so they're doing this heavy rain on us, which is basically done by sprinklers in the trees, as well as some fire hoses shot up into the sky so that the rain then falls down on us. And so he's face up with just water pouring down on us, and he's there with his mouth open trying to speak and whatever. It was like he was definitely the most miserable that day. There's a lot that was like just I mean, yeah, it was a hard thing. It was definitely the most work shooting anything, and with everything, the schedule and just the physical demands that there were. I mean, this whole stuff, that cliff scene.
Oh, I know.
To get there was, you had to, there's this little path that you had to hike down. And it was, you know, we had like straps wrapped around us so that if you got closer to the edge, you'd get hooked on to like a wire that would keep you up so mm-hmm. you wouldn't fall and stuff. And it was really precarious. And then eventually they cheated the turnaround a little bit to a different place that was a lot easier to access.
So they didn't film that whole fight scene and all that stuff on that cliff?
The fight between Locke and Jack, I think, was there. The part, just because it was so hard to get back down there to shoot mm-hmm. that same spot again. And in fact, I even think 5-0... which is, you know, here, it's going to go to series soon, is I think they even wanted to shoot something on that same area that we were working on.
Oh, really?
But it's just so much work to get down there that they thought they found another place that they could It's just kind of like just to shoot the parts like where Ben and I come down the hill and we join them, and we're like, you know, the after Kate has already killed Locke, and then we come down and we're like, oh my gosh. And that moment, we end up shooting in a slightly different place.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, when I was watching, I was just like, just the amount of work they had to go in just filming this,
well,
this fight scene is because, I mean, there was, like, was there helicopter shots, too? Because there was some high-up shots that were filmed as well, right?
Yeah, there was that.
That was a really high shot. Like, them running towards each other was really high. That probably was a helicopter.
So it's just like, man.
I wasn't in it. The only helicopter shot that I was in was when we're coming up the hill right before, like Sawyer, when Sawyer rejoins us.
Oh, yeah.
And we're coming up the hill, and then there's that helicopter shot of us going up the hill in Cool Little Ranch. You know, I'm sure there's probably a helicopter. I mean, it's finale, so I'm sure the helicopter shots were abound.
Now, is the, what do they call the light well or the source on the set? Do they have a name for it? The heart of the island. Is that to be determined at a later date?
I don't remember there actually being a name for it. I think we mostly refer to it as like the light cave or something along those lines. In the script, it described it as a place that we've never been before. In fact, when I first read it, I didn't imagine it being a cave. I imagined it being almost like a small crevice with the light that came out of it. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember there being a specific name for it.
And was that a set, kind of like the caves were, or...
Was
that actual location?
Well, there was there's like three locations. I think there's an outdoor cave with the light on, mm-hmm. and then there is a second outdoor cave that has less water running or no water running almost, where it's like you can still see the wet of the riverbed, but it's pretty much
mm-hmm.
Dry.
That water that you had to drink, that puddle water.
Yeah.
That was
the
nice.
brown water. And then in the studio, there was the interior of the cave where you could look down and do close-ups from like the side and up the front. And then there was the water stage, which is the deep interior with the stalactites and stalagmites and that, you know, where the river runs through and mm-hmm. that big cork thing is there. That's the water studio, which is like, you know, where the looking glass station was and the temple station and temple set was. All the water stations, the sub was, all the stuff that were in there being wet was all built in that stage. And then there was an outdoor stage that they could run the waterfall down that you had to climb up all the scaffolding to get to the top to do the rest of the lowering and the raising.
Wow.
this shows a lot of work.
It was very ambitious.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
As a fan of the show, we had a debate. A lot of people have been wondering, when Locke in season one says he's looked into the heart of the island,
yeah.
Do you think he was looking into the... he saw the bright light, or the whale.
I don't know.
Do you think that's what he was talking about?
Well, you know, I forgot to say is in that Lost thing they show before, the 2 hour thing before.
Oh, they talk about it.
Well, Terry said that he didn't see anything specifically. Just his relationship with the island. He felt like. He'd seen the heart of the island.
Oh, so he hasn't actually seen it.
Yeah, but now this was before.
Yeah, and I think I mean now looking back, if I had to choose an answer, which is really at this point, it's just choices of right. interpretation and stuff, is I think that was kind of the start of the Man in Black seduction of John Locke.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he saw, first, I mean, there's this place he can walk on it, and then he has a run-in with something that he's never seen before.
Right.
In the jungle on this island, and so just kind of like a display of the great power that exists on this island that kind of just ended up seducing him.
Okay. The seduction of John Locke.
Yeah, because it's like especially season one was like obviously the most in the dark, and it was just these type of things where they say, what you're looking at is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Roll. And yeah. then, you know, that's how, you know, all that stuff was done. And then the rest got kind of, you know, everyone kind of has to fill in their own blanks on it.
Mm-hmm.
How cool was it when you filmed that scene with Charlie when you first greet him? Because you genuinely looked happy when you saw him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely, you know, it was a great moment to, you know, play the whole first time seeing him after all these years kind of yeah. thing. And just kind of getting to be giddy about it, you know, where I almost start laughing when I'm like, I'm here to take you to a concert, you know, you know, I thought that was, you know, just kind of fun. After episode 16 and seeing the active role that Hurley gets to play in this whole wake up process, it really gave me some fun choices to play going through this whole thing. I also liked, you know, when I was just in the Hummer with Naveen and being like, okay, if you're gonna leave, you can leave. But yeah. you know, if you stay, you know, it was pretty fun.
Do you think, since Hurley would know his entire life by that point, do you think we kind of got a glimpse at maybe Hurley and how he ran the island, being Jacob, the new protector?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's a great question. I mean, it's...
Because he did have a different, like, way about him and how he
very
was...
More, he was confident.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he did. But the thing is, we saw him... I mean, did you get a glimpse just because the way Hurley was and the thing? Do you think that has a flavor to it? I mean, yeah. I mean, it's still Hurley, so I guess you can say that. But at the time of... shooting that, like, I still didn't know what I know now.
When did you know?
Yeah, when did you find out in Flash Sideways that you had passed?
Well, I kind of found out that day later. Actually, Jack Bender told me ahead of time before he told other people. He kind of gave me a gist, kind of idea of it. And then it wasn't really till the day we were shooting that scene that it kind of got explained, but it really kind of didn't get explained. Like, you guys went to the New York Times talk, right?
Yes, I did. Well, I objected.
I was flying.
Oh, well, one of the things that we talked about in the New York Times talk was we did this whole big scene in the church, and we knew they were shooting a scene that we weren't privy to. The scene between Jack and his dad, which is kind of the real crux of the moment.
Was that the snake in the mailbox? Like, nobody knew that scene?
That was the secret scene.
Okay.
That was first we got the script, didn't have the last act on it at all. And then we got the last act, and that was still missing from it. So we knew that scene was being shot somewhere. You know, that, like, we saw the crew was over on the side of the church. And there was also, like... that scene was always in the script as Jin and Sun's wedding.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how that scene, that the snake in the mailbox was referred to Jin and Sun's wedding. In fact, they even had someone to walk around who looked kind of like Sun in a wedding dress in an effort to throw off looky-loos.
Really? Yeah.
And they also had like a couple Santa Rosa vans going back and forth as we were shuttling the actors. And there, I lost my place for a second. So then we go in to do this scene, and the rehearsal, it's like just us go. It didn't have, it was like just like the actors who were in it, and very minimal crew at first. And they says, all right, we're going to do this scene now. We kind of think you guys already kind of, they kind of explain that we're going to do this. There's like this hugging things. We're waiting for Jack to show up. Jack shows up, and then we sit down, and then there's going to be this light. And like, you know, we're very happy. And prepared for this next journey. And that's kind of like all we kind of get. And they say, that's kind of what we're going to do. Now, we think you kind of get what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted a more explicit description of it, Damon and Carlton were available to you, kind of thing. But at that point, I was sitting there, and I had just kind of thought, and but they also said it too. They says, we can do that, but, you know, you guys have done already so great in the series without any explanation that maybe you guys don't want that. And I did sit there, and I kind of thought that. I was like, you know what? He's right. Why change it now after we've come this far?
Right.
I mean, this is what doing Lost has been like. So then when Damon brings it up again in the time stock, and he's asked me, like, directly, he's like, so why did you think you didn't need us to, you know, explain it to you? And I was like, because I think I got it. And it was funny because I go, because I was like, because I think I got it, and then suddenly the audience erupts in applause. So I guess that was the right answer. But yeah, I think Foxy did go up there and ask it. I think it's kind of thing like where you know, but you still want them to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So was that tough to resist getting the answer, or were you totally okay with it?
I was okay. Well, I thought maybe I could ask. After I'd shot it,
mm-hmm.
that might be. But then after a while, I just kind of went, it's okay. It's going to be, you know, something that it's going to be interpreted for, you know, a long time after
right.
the show's been done. And I kind of knew, says, well, you know, we know we at least have people talking for the summertime and, you know, figure it out from there.
Well, I know you were talking about the hugs and the way you guys ended the show. I know we were in the audience, people were just smiling and they had tears in their eyes. When you gave Matthew Fox that hug and it was a big bear hug, was that in the script?
Or no.
You just did it?
That was actually, I hug him and then, and that was Bender. Bender says, you know, why don't you give him a big bear hug when you see him?
He didn't know, right?
Not the first one.
Okay.
I mean, after a while we did a few takes, but.
Okay.
Why was he shocked?
His look kind of looked like, wow.
Oh, really?
But it was well done. I just,
so maybe he, yeah, maybe that was the first take.
How was that scene shooting it with her? Was that the last scene you guys shot?
No, the last scene we shot was outside on that thing. I call it a Castle Grayskull, the big set. That big set with the scaffolding. That was the last scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lowering Desmond, bringing Desmond. No, lowering Desmond, bringing Desmond up, and
the scene between you and Michael.
The scene between me and Michael. What you mean after everything? No, that was not earlier.
Oh, that was okay. So just
just the physicals of lowering, yelling down the hall, Jack. You know, bad stuff.
Now
that all that came. lowering and raising stuff, that was all the last day from inside all the way to outside.
Oh, wow. And did you guys, like, celebrate or anything there? Or, you know, like, what was the...
They did. I mean, I didn't... I mean, that was the day that started at 9:30 in the morning and finished at about 5:30 the next morning for me. So, at the end, we were really tired. And even Emerson was getting a little, you could see he was trying on him a little bit.
He was getting a little cranky.
Because Emerson, yeah, totally. Because Emerson's always very, you know, calm, cool, and collected. And there's a moment that morning where you kind of saw him break a little bit. Even said the F word at one point.
What?
And it was like, I was like, huh. I was like, you're tired. and it was so great. And then there was also moments where we kind of had like little fake tantrums at that moment too,
mm-hmm.
which is very therapeutic and gives you best of both worlds because it allows you to throw the tantrum but then laugh about it later. Mm-hmm. So you got to get some of it out. But on top of it, you know, and so, like, there's times when Foxy and I got in, like, basically a fake fight, you know. And, like, you know, it's like, it just, whatever we're saying, I don't remember what it was. It's, I'm glad you died. Who knows what? Thank God this is the last day. And then back and forth.
Is that on
and
tape then, anywhere?
No, I don't think so. I mean, well, it might be. I know they shot stuff. I mean, they were shooting the last day for the bonus features a lot, but some of it we did up at the top of the scaffolding, and there are only like so many people that are allowed up there anyways, just because of safety reasons. So, you know, we just kind of hanging out up there and. I don't know. We just kind of, you know, just kind of like keep it. In a sense, it was a way to let some of the air out of the significance of this last day of this show. We still got a little sappy at the end, but not too much. I still felt that a lot of us were too tired to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think that was the best way to do it? Just be too exhausted to really acknowledge that it was the last scene?
I don't know. It's a really long day, and the fact that you know, we're pulling people up and down with, there's like people in harnesses and ropes and stuff like that. It, to be honest, I don't know if that's exactly what you want to be doing after been working all day long. You know, to actually do something that's a little bit dangerous, but. It, you know, it was still kind of, I mean, it was still special. I know. I remember people bringing out their cameras to take a picture of the video link of the last shot, mm-hmm. of the whole series. And there was in the behind the studio, they were already were grilling and, you know, making cocktails in the back, and they ended up partying there some people until about 1 p.m.
Nice.
After wrapping. So, you know, there was definitely, it was a nice ending. And then that night, that same night was also the official wrap party that everyone then went to afterward as well.
Now, was it cool having all the old actors back for the last episode?
It was awesome. It was really cool seeing just the huge line of chairs with everybody's names on them.
Oh, yeah, that must have been cool.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was definitely like a big reunion thing. It was definitely a lot of fun.
Was that like the most amount of actors since like the first season?
I'd say so, yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, it's basically, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was definitely. It was quite a big group. It was fun.
So as a fan, how did you feel about the Sideways reveal? For me, it's kind of upsetting when I see some reviews in the newspaper say, oh, well, they were dead the whole time, and it's so stupid, and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man, yeah, I couldn't believe that the closing credits made people really threw people off so hard. And I was like, you know, I was like, wow. I was like, why are you putting so much value on closing credits, which don't even match the show because they're shot on video?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not even, it's not anything.
Well, you haven't heard about that, Jack?
Well, I've heard some, but on iTunes, because I download on iTunes watching the plane, they don't show it. And in San Diego, they didn't show it.
Oh, well, yeah, they had the plane wreckage, and
only
people...
Only time I've seen it is at the Orpheum. I didn't see it in this...
It was in the Raleigh feed.
Yeah, because the San Diego feed didn't show it, and the iTunes, they don't show it. It just, when it fades, that's
it. It's just closing credits. It's just closing credits. Like, no one watched the rest... No one watched any of the other closing credits going, oh, it's so dark. What are these words doing? Oh, there's that bad robot again.
But that's what this show does, though. People pick it apart,
exactly,
frame by frame, and they just and nobody wants to give up.
And there's so many things that it's only something like that happens, and it's like, and it writes off the whole show as like, oh, they were always dead, or oh, the Ajira Six died, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And it's just like, no, it's just,
yeah, it's I just, get that when it's I was just watching
like
it.
They weren't going to play music at the end. They weren't going to play the usual closing theme at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just played the sound of waves crashing and just kind of like, you know, those are like kind of like first season memory clips or something.
That's how I interpret it, because that was shot of the original plane wreckage on the original beach, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And they moved it from there, like after the beginning of the first season or whatever it was. But yeah, so how do you feel about the flashlight was in the reveal that it was them after they died however many years later?
I liked it. I liked the story a lot. But I loved seeing people wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some great wake up moments in the finale.
I think I cried on every single one.
I thought Josh and Elizabeth, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I totally missed it when I saw it. But then I was listening to, I think it was on the Lost Initiative, where they talked about the whole "it worked" business.
Yeah, same here. I missed that too.
Yeah, we.
Like, I was like, oh, she says that when he turns the thing on again? I was like, wow. Yeah,
we got a question.
That was so nice. So well put.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
There was something that got cut out of the episode after I blew up the Black Rock was a moment between Hurley and Miles, where he says, like, you know, there's a part where Hurley says something like that dead people are more trustworthy than alive people or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, did Juliet say anything to you? And he says, no. He says, why did she say something to you? And he says, well, just got one thing. She said it worked. And I'm like, well, what worked? And she's like, I don't know. But like right when she died, we were trying to blow up that bomb. And, you know, that thing that was going to reset everything and send everybody back home, whatever. And I'm like, but we wouldn't be here anymore. And I'm like, but we are still here. And he's like, I know. And he says, so it didn't work. And he says, I know. But if dead people are so trustworthy, why would she say that?
Huh.
And it was like, it was a cool moment. I was kind of bummed it got cut out. But it's kind of cool getting the other angle at that same line.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So now there's, for a while now, Matthew Fox has been saying that he knew the last scene. Did he really know the last scene?
He said it on Kimmel.
I know he said it on Kimmel, but
he said he knew he was going to die.
Did he ever tell you?
I thought I was going to show
the image. The image. Well, no, but I figured it out once we started discussing, because we knew what they were doing. We knew one of the things that they were going to get ready to do was, because we were preparing both the DVD release for season 6 as well as the Lost, the complete series release,
mm-hmm.
that there is going to be some bonus features for both. Some would be for the complete series and some would be for just the season 6.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, there was a lot of looking back, kind of, how do you end a series? that's been going on for a while, and they have interviews with some cool people apparently, about, you know, how you end a show. And it seemed like the biggest clue to find out how a show is going to end is look at the beginning. And there was a group of people I was with, and one of them just kind of figured it out in a way where it's like going, if the beginning of the whole thing is an eye opening, it'll probably end with an eye closing, just because they like to create that sense of like a bookend.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I figured that what Foxy knew was, yeah, that it's going to end with his eye closing. And I think that was pretty much it, though. You know,
yeah.
His eye closing, probably that he was dead, but, you know, I don't think they had, he knew that much more beyond that.
I thought that was a beautiful closing, though. Like, the way it just kind of paralleled, they kind of went back and forth between the sideways, and
yeah.
When Vincent was there, and the old tennis shoe was still there, all tattered up.
Yeah, yeah, I thought the old shoe was great.
Yeah. All I know is when Vincent came out of the jungle, I started tearing up. I said, I can't take
cool.
it.
How did they get Vincent to lay like that? Was there like a trainer off screen or something?
I don't know. I wasn't there. That Vincent is, I think that was still Pono in that Vincent. Or, yeah, I think it was still Pono.
That's the second one?
Second Vincent, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because people are saying he looked younger.
He is younger.
Yeah.
He is. The Pono came on about season... Wait, when did I get the band to start?
Season three. Trisha Tanaka.
Okay, so that was still Vincent, because Vincent did the van episode. So Pono might have been season four.
Okay.
When we were following Locke back to the others' camp, when that tribe split, that was season four, right? I think that's what
was
Pono. Yeah.
Have you seen shots of the van we gave away?
No.
It was really cool.
Sweet.
I wanted to steal it.
Did you give it away on that night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Emerson gave away the keys to the guy, Frank, that won it.
Oh, you know, it's so funny. I listened to what you were talking about. You got Michael Emerson to introduce the band.
Yeah.
And when did you tell him he was introducing the band? How much time before he actually had to do it?
Minute? 2 minutes?
Oh, really?
I think we might have... kind of shot the ideas around with him, so he might have had an idea.
Okay. Yeah,
it was all ad-lib.
Because you say it's ad-lib, but let me tell you something. When you give Michael Emerson a job like that, he worries about it, and he works on it.
Oh, really?
No matter how much time you have, I tell you, inside his head, he was rehearsing it and figuring out what he was going to say. I remember one time there was this talk we were having with people from the Hollywood Foreign Press were visiting us. And so they kind of wanted someone to make an announcement, and I was like, you know, the person to do that for is person asked for that, because they asked me first, and I was like, you know who you should ask Emerson. and so Emerson does it, and he says, you know, he'll graciously accept, because he always does, and so he's like, oh no, and so then he suddenly has to work on it with like his wife Carrie and being like, okay, how's the sound, kind of like, you know. It's cute because he kind of frets about it a little bit. I mean, maybe he's lightened up over the course of, you know, the time that I've known him, and he's like, I'll just throw this one away and just do it. Because, I mean, he naturally just speaks eloquently anyways.
Right.
But I have an inkling in my thought that, you know, as soon as you mention that he says, oh, okay, I'm just going to. Something along these lines, you know. I bet he worked on it a little bit. I mean, he's a stage actor. That's it's all about rehearsal. So,
yeah,
they might have told him on the limo drive over. I don't know.
Yeah, it might have happened.
I didn't know what he was going to say.
we have a lot of Twitter questions here, so let's try and dive into these. Hopefully, they're not too crazy.
Okay.
First one's from Drive-In Industries. Since you love to cook and the Food Network shows, why not host your own show? You have a built-in audience.
Well, that'll be something to think about years from now. At the moment, I like acting, and I'd still want to keep doing that.
No Rachel Ray type stuff for you?
Not really. No, I don't think so.
This next one's from Darter 2002. How emotional was it to do the scene at the church?
The church was just fun, really. It wasn't crazy emotional. I mean, for us, there was like little bits, just because, like Brian Burke and Damon Carl, so many people came out to see it because there were so many people getting together for it, and even people who didn't work that day came out just to kind of be there when this big moment happened.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it was kind of celebratory, I thought.
Cool. It looked celebratory because everyone was smiling. It looked like they were having a good time.
Yeah.
And
he didn't have any lines to remember. So it's just like we just kind of hug each other and smile, and then that's it.
Cool. This next one's from Topher70. Asks if you think that Hurley uses Jacob Powers to rewrite Empire Strikes Back, or if he brought George Lucas to the island.
No. I think there's too much responsibility to being the new number one to let to do that to your whims.
You could bring George Lucas, though, I think. I think that would
be great. He goes back in time and he cuts, you know, he stops the production of the second trilogy.
Yeah, Phantom Menace.
You have that power.
You right. have to rethink what like, you're
that's
doing.
That's how Jacob did it. Do your different way, a better way. You know, without the first three chapters.
This next one's from Jason De La Rosa. Did you record the transmission of the numbers? Now, this is something I thought was going to be addressed.
Right. I did record numbers.
Was there ever going to be something out of that, or?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm the only one who recorded numbers, but at one point I did record numbers. And that's really all I know.
Really? That's what you said, record
these numbers? The moment the French team hears it,
right.
It does sound like me, so that may have been mine, but it was never like another thing to be addressed. Like I never go into a room and there's never anything in the script where I'm seen recording them.
Huh. That's weird.
Some things fall through the cracks.
This next one's from Kato321. Very upsetting that Kate and Sawyer didn't say goodbye to Hurley when leaving the island.
Yeah.
Do you think it was crazy and they didn't really have time?
The island was falling apart. That's all right. I forgive him. He was great. There's also the part in the scene with the moment with Jack and Kate. I'm right there. Mm-hmm. I'm right there during all this stuff. And it's kind of like when we're shooting it, I'm like trying to figure out where not to look. And it's great because it's almost like they're the only two people on the planet for that moment. Cut to the wide shot. And you see, I'm right there. I can touch them with my foot. It's like, okay, let's move on now. There was a moment, I think, that I waved back at them even. You know, I did notice that too. I mean, there was no goodbye to everybody. Like, usually when we part, there's goodbyes to everybody or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess if John can forgive Ben, I guess Hurley could forgive
it's okay.
Kate.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Okay.
Les4186 says, was filming the kidnapping Charlie scene as fun to film as it was to watch? We kind of got into it a little bit earlier.
As fun to film as it was to watch? I don't know. I mean, there was definitely fun in it, but we were in, I mean, there's a lot of work when you shoot the finale, so you know, there was still more work to do that day and stuff like that. So I don't know if you could really compare the two.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really happy how that turned out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
fun.
The aiming of the gun and taking the shot was great.
Yeah. With my eyes closed.
Yeah. this next one's from Big Ander. Now you probably can't answer this, but
okay, great.
Some parts to it. Can Jorge tell us just one question that will be answered in the epilogue? And if not, is the epilogue more dramatic or comedic?
One question that will be answered in the epilogue. Actually, I'm gonna not answer that.
Okay.
Comedic or dramatic? It's definitely, I think, a little bit lighter than the finale stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some really nice kind of overarching kind of things that happen that kind of make you see a lot more as to the future of the island.
Awesome. Cool. Very cool. Let's see here. Did you train the Hurley Bird, then sent it back into the pass just to mess with himself in the pass?
Well, all right, I'll give you one tidbit about the future of the DVD bonus is they do address the Hurley Bird.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
okay, cool.
Next one's from Charlie Pickles 8. Do you think Libby's being in the crazy house season 3, that was season 2 flashback, I think, had anything to do with the island?
I don't understand.
Was
the
she...
island? Did the island somehow put her in the crazy house?
Yeah, at the end of Dave, right? We got that reveal.
It was Dave, yeah.
I don't think it have anything to do with the island. That's nothing I ever thought about.
Okay.
There was at one point there was a scene between Hurley and Libby that took place in a mental institution. I think after Libby had passed, her ghost basically tells Hurley that that she used to be in here.
When was that revealed? Season
that,
4
that,
or 5?
That never happened. Season 4. Is that Oceanic 6? Season 4?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
because you had the premiere episode that year. Was Hurley.
There was a scene... wait, is the premiere episode when Walt comes to Hurley and says, like, how come everybody's lying?
I think that was a little bit later, I think.
I think that's where that scene went, and then it ended up being the Walt-Hurley scene instead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that was the one with Matthew Abaddon for the first time. I think that was the second one that season or something like that. Or the second episode that season.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I know. It's all one piece now to me.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. I'm Josie. Favorite episode to watch or shoot or both?
Well, right now, yeah, that's really hard. Cause like, well, right now it's like Lost the Journey. It's like one of those like clip kind of things. Like the one that they aired the 2 hours before the finale, just because it's kind of like there's a lot of that retrospective-y stuff. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I enjoy. Like I love watching the blooper reels because it brings me back to that day of work and the moments. But for a real episode, right now it is kind of like the finale because it's the freshest. You know, obviously shooting the pilot is probably going to always be my favorite, just because it was like nothing I'd ever done before. And we've been kind of, because we've been doing this last run of publicity right before the finale and hanging out with like Damon and Carlton in New York and stuff like that. And, the ABC publicity team and just people who have been there and were in Hawaii when we were shooting the pilot, and the times that you hung out outside of work when you, because like, you know, we only knew each other, so we kind of were around the hotel or, you know, close to it in like the different places that we would like linger when we weren't working, that kind of brought it all back, doing this, you know, final run of publicity and just kind of like going, man, we had fun that when we first got there and it was, everything was new.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. So that was always going to be kind of special in our heads. It's like a great time, to be working.
Yeah. It was funny. We actually got like emails from people in New York, like they came to our bar, you know,
yeah.
Something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
There was photos of you with people.
Yeah.
This next one's from Darcy Black. It says, besides Lost, what is your favorite J.J. Abrams creation? Admit it, you're a Felicity fan, aren't you?
I have the... Well, right now, it's Fringe. I'm really getting into... I really have enjoyed Fringe, and this season has gotten really interesting and complicated. And in fact, I had the last two episodes on my DVR, and I just transferred them onto my computer so that I can watch them. Because, you know, we have to turn in the cable box, and the TV's already been put in the container, so we can't, you know, we're kind of can't just watch anything anymore.
Right.
So I had to find another way to be able to get my Fringe and continue watching it. So that's kind of that's what I'm into right now. Although yeah. I did enjoy Alias a lot.
Alias is awesome.
Especially like at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people request that we podcast about Fringe, and I just haven't watched it since like the fourth episode of season one.
Yeah, I stopped like halfway through the first season.
Didn't have time.
But
it got really good.
That's what I keep hearing. Let's see here. Next is from My Other Career. What are your thoughts on post-broadcast Lost material, graphic novels and books, and whether Darlton would allow it? Kind of like they did with Star Wars with all those books and stuff.
Would they allow it? They don't really have a say in it.
It's Disney.
I mean,
yeah, it's Disney, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Disney owns Lost, so... that's really not really part of the, doesn't really enter into the question.
Mm-hmm.
As far as me, you know, anything that's inspired by Lost is something I'd be curious to take a look at, just to kind of see where they go. It's like when people talked about how would you feel like years from now, someone rebooting Lost in some way. And I don't know, I'd have to at least watch that first one.
Yeah.
Just kind of see what they did with it. Because, you know, I always use the comparison of like, look what J.J. did with Star Trek, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
You can get someone really talented. It might be an interesting return.
So how do you feel about like the whole canon issue then? Should fans really consider anything that Damon and Carlton had direct influence in as the true canon?
What do you mean? Is there something that you think is...
Like, say if they write books down the road, should we not consider that canon, or...
See, that gets difficult to...
our choice.
Understand. I mean, the canon. The thing is, it's kind of like the ultimate Marvel comics, you know, where they kind of exist in a different place where people can die or people can be alive, and it doesn't quite follow what the regular comic run was.
Mm-hmm.
There was a certain free-for-allness quality to when they did start doing the Ultimate Comics, and so it'd be like that, I guess. I think you can't, you know... You kind of have to take Damon and Carlton's Lost as, that's it. This is the thing that it is. And anything that goes on after that is someone picking that up. And so it's not, it's automatically not part of the original Damon and Carlton plan. And so I guess it's going to be like anybody else. It's going to be, are you a Star Trek purist or are you like Next Generation? You know, it's just going to be like that, where it's like there's people are going to, you know, people will be fans of both, and some people will think anything beyond what we've done is an abomination and and won't even, you know, give it a chance. So it's, you know, that's just for people to, you know, decide what they're going to like and not like.
True. I think there'll be something, because I know it's only hadn't been a week yet, but a lot of people were not ready to let go of Loss. I mean, we were talking to people at the party. They're just like, I'm not ready. I need a fix. what are they going to do? Yeah. It's been such a big... Because it started hitting me about the last week. I started going, what am I going to do? This has been such a big part of my life.
Yeah.
But I was satisfied with the ending, and we're going to do a Loss rewatch and everything, but a lot of people just are not ready to let go.
Well, you know, I was fine with letting go. Like, I think the finale...
Once I saw the finale, I was happy. I said, okay, they did it. They nailed it. I'm happy. But there's a lot of people that just aren't... You see the emails.
It's tough. It's been 3 years. And we've known it was coming. And then suddenly it's like, oh, these 3 years are now becoming very real now.
Right.
Because it's here. And, yeah, it's... It's hard. The whole time I've been like thinking it hasn't really sunk in yet. It hasn't really hit me yet. Maybe it's like maybe when I get the script, maybe when I finish shooting, maybe when I finally watch the final airing. Which it's really starting to hit me now that I'm packing.
Right. Mm.
It's like the whole idea of everything's always been kind of heightened here. Shooting here, because when someone dies off the show, you know, they move away, you know, they have to, you know, they're not even in the same state as you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're an ocean away, right? And so in the same way, it's like you move, you know, it's like you end the job and then you have to, you know, pick up and move away. And so it just makes it that much more significant.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely where I was like sitting there and wondering about it. I get me as far as like my experience of it, in the sense of like the people who are in it with me, like the cast and crew,
right,
the writers, the executive producers, where it's like, what do you do now? And then, you know, you step back even further and you see the effect that this show has had and the community that has been created out of this show, thanks to the internet, that it's, you know, you'll want to ask them the same questions. Like, in many ways, you know, I felt, you know, like you guys, for example, it's like, you were part of this whole experience too. And like the same kind of thing. It's like, wow, what are you guys going to do now? You know, like I wanted to say that to like the band, previously in Lost, when I met them at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. And I was like going, so now what are you guys going to do? You know, it's like, what are you going to write songs about?
Well, we had the party. People were asking us, what are you going to do next? And I have to be honest, this podcast, we do several other, this one that's just been the most joy, you know, Jay and I get a kick out of doing it, and it's just like, will that happen again?
Yeah, and it's like, at that day that I shot that scene with Dom in the hotel, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about it ending, and he's like saying, you just kind of need to have, like, some type of moment where it's like, okay, that was this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put this to bed now. Cause he's already kind of gone through it. Right?
Right.
Cause he had to, like, you know, have Lost end for him. and then figure out what his next thing is. And he, you know, it's kind of cool getting, you know, that little piece of advice from someone who'd already been through it. Just because, you know, Lost was already this huge phenomenon when he then was not on it anymore. So it's still in the same kind of way. It's like, well, you just kind of have to have, you know, it's almost like be ceremonious about it and be like, here's Lost.
Yeah.
Lost goes all in this little box. And every now and then I'll open that box. But it's here and it's contained in here. And then now the rest of your life continues.
Mm-hmm. We had an email today. Someone wanted us to start a like a Trekkie convention where every year they meet up. Someone wants to do a Lost convention every year.
Well, I mean, I went to a Lost convention while we were still on the air. I mean, I went to like one of the first ones where there were only like 200 people there, like between like season one and two or something like that. It was very small, very, very close people. But, you know, yeah, I kind of see that may happen. It's hard to know right now. Just
cause it's only been a week.
Still so fresh. But, you know, I think most of us have kind of figured out that this is definitely one of these rare shows that is always, it's just going to be, you know, special and special for a long time, in the sense that, you know, we know there's not going to be another one for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And just kind of the accepting of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, and for us, we're doing the Lost rewatch next,
starting
after
August
24th. And then that'll be the end of the Lost podcast once we're done with the Lost podcast.
So you're going to watch what?
The whole series.
Again.
Rewatch it.
At the DVD release, basically?
Yeah. And we'll do so and so many episodes a week, and then once we're done with that,
I'll give some crackpot theories that may come true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think it's a little. Yeah, it might be too soon for me to go into a rewatch.
Well, that's why we're waiting till the DVDs come out. I think.
Yeah, that's good.
Three
I mean,
or something.
Yeah, DVDs come out. I'll probably go through all the like bonus stuff. And then, then put it away again.
All right. There's one last Twitter question. It's from Bill Cava. It said, Jorge blogged about getting his hair braided. Was that for the DVD extra as Island Number One?
No. No, it wasn't. It actually showed what it was for. It was for an interview I did for Complex. They wanted to emulate the moment in the Gin and Juice video with Snoop Dogg where he has half his hair braided and half his hair out. And so, yeah, that was all it was for. Sorry.
I think he was hoping for something bigger.
Yeah. Well, when I posted it, I was like, I was like, remind me to tell you about this later. Just to let people start going. It's like there's that one picture I once posted from Thanksgiving where it looked like my hair was shorter for some reason. So I was like, how do you like my new haircut? And everyone was like, oh, I got a haircut.
Oh, man. So, you know, it's... I think overall, just looking back on this whole show, it's been an amazing ride, and you're right, nothing will ever come close to this, I think.
Not
for a long time. And
there's only so many shows you can look at and go, that's a great show. I know my wife and I are rewatching The West Wing, and
I just finished it.
Oh, you did?
A month or two ago or so.
And I must not have watched the first two seasons because I don't recognize the episodes, but this show is so well done.
They're the best. The Aaron Sorkin ones, about season, I think, four or something, he leaves the show.
Right.
And it's a slight change, but, you know, in the same way, a lesser West Wing is still far above and beyond most anything else. And, oh, man, it's such a great show.
What's like Lost? The acting, the directing, the music.
Yeah.
It's just full package, and you're laughing, you're cheering, you're crying. It's just an amazing show.
I have The Wire handy. Like, I didn't put it in the container. I kept it out, so it's going to go in my suitcase so I can start watching that.
That's good.
Once I get resettled, yeah, that's supposed to be a pretty big one. And I'm going to watch Sports Night, which is the show he did before. Two things I wanted to add. One, when Damon Carlton did the top 10 list for Letterman,
mm-hmm.
and it was top 10 spoilers for the finale of Lost,
mm-hmm.
one of them was Jack dies. and they're like, okay, how do we get this out of the top 10 and yet not tell them because it's true? because they'll, even though they won't, they'll know it's a joke when they first see it, they'll go back and be like, you guys totally spoiled me.
You ruined and my Lost so experience.
They were like saying, they made some comment like, listen, our fans don't take stuff like this lightly. And they ended up writing a different thing.
That's fine.
And the other thing that never happened that I thought was pretty awesome was when Jimmy Kimmel did the alternate endings.
Mm-hmm.
There was a MASH ending in it.
Oh, there was?
Yeah.
And they didn't have it?
Man.
They just never. It was supposed to be between Terry and Emerson, and they go back. It was like they were saying great things like anytime, you know, someone chokes me to death, I'll think of you. Or anytime someone does this, I'll think of you. Anytime someone shoots me and throws me in a pile of bodies, I'll think of you. It was really, really funny. Then he says, oh, and something like, I left you a note. And then as a helicopter pans back and it goes up, you see it says, like, goodbye, written in stones. And, yeah, that never made it. That was going to that was supposed to be the first one.
Did they shoot it all, or just never even?
No, that's because they couldn't shoot it. That's why it didn't get done.
Oh,
because
man.
That was they would have to come out to shoot it in Hawaii, and it just couldn't get done because it was like they were trying to shoot it.
Yeah.
That last week, after, you know, I don't know if they were trying to shoot it while we were shooting the finale or right after we shot the finale, and it just couldn't get put together.
Which one of the three was your favorite?
Well, it's pretty cool getting Newhart to do one.
Yeah. That was good.
That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
I like the Sopranos one. That was neat. With all the Alberts.
Yeah. It was fun to shoot.
The Survivor one was good too.
We were watching it over and over again. It was like, oh, it's like the whole thing where I reach out and touch Matthew's hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that I had to get from watching the ending, because the moment where he does that with his son and stuff, and they jumbled the lines around a little bit, and in the jukebox there was. Both Don't Stop Believing as well as You All Everybody was also on the jukebox. We weren't sure what song it was going to end up at the end.
Oh,
anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever see Jimmy Kimmel's Smoke Monster and Jacob playing Connect 7 Million?
Yeah, I did.
That was hilarious.
Actually, what was even funner was Totally Lost stuff with Mark Pellegrino and Titus Welliver. Did you see that?
I haven't seen that yet, no.
Do you see that, Jorge?
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes of it.
It's hilarious. It's so funny.
I haven't seen it.
And the Smoke Monster auditions with the Muppets was pretty good too.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that either.
Where have you been?
Oh, that's right, recording a podcast. Right. Do you ever see the? Did you ever finish Pacific yet?
I didn't. that's something I'm gonna go and watch as a set. Either I'm gonna iTunes it or go DVD or go HBO on demand. Just because I missed a couple in between for some reason, and I'm not sure why. That I was like, all right, just stand back, finish your work, and then you know these shows you'll go back to them later. Okay. Same thing, Friday Night Lights. There are two episodes that aired because now that it's back, now that it's on NBC, right. And that I'm probably just going to end up doing a season pass on it so that I make sure I don't miss any of it.
Mm-hmm. Have you enjoyed the season?
I haven't even begun it yet.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert.
Well, geez. I didn't say anything.
I mean, I've read about it and everyone talks about it. Yeah.
Since the beginning?
It's another life.
But is this the last season?
No, next season.
Oh, they got one more?
They'll have one more season.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else to talk about the final episode. Sweet. Just that I loved it. Is there anything else you want to add before we go?
No, I can't. No, I think that's good.
All right.
Are you guys going to still... I haven't listened to your last podcast.
Or just say thanks to you guys. Because it's been... it's been really... What?
Thanks.
look who just showed up.
It sounds like Beth trying to be somebody else.
Sounds like Sidekick 22. Are they the same?
And so, yeah, it's just been... It's been great, and you guys have been just awesome to us, and it's just been it's been very good, and I look forward to seeing what your next steps are.
I kill Jack. That's the next step.
Great,
and I'm cool with that.
All right, Jorge, thank you so much for coming
on.
Helping us out. It's been a true pleasure watching your acting for the past 6 years, and hopefully this season will get you that Emmy nomination that you definitely deserve.
Seriously.
That's very nice.
And your next show, no crying scenes, because I can't handle it.
Okay. Well, you know, that whole thing when we find out that Jin and Sun.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I bawled like a baby.
Die in the sub. And the first shot's a long shot, and we were just sitting there, because it was nighttime. We're all wet, and we're just hanging out, and it's the four of us, and we just started. They're gonna start with the long shot, and so it was like, okay, good. Long shot, you don't even see our faces in it. So I just start giggling there with Evangeline, and I just start laughing. Sitting there going, laughing looks like crying from far away. It looks like we're crying, but we're not. And that's how we started that part.
Wow.
I think, and not to ruin the moment for people now, but you know, it was just kind of like, I was like, listen, I don't want to get into the mess of having to bawl like I've never bawled before on the show just yet. So, We kind of like stayed it off for a little bit by like, you know, good, it's a distance that they don't see us, so we can kind of fake it.
Yeah, you threw down the gauntlet for crying scenes in that scene, I gotta say.
Yeah. I had to put up my notepad because I didn't want to be embarrassed. I was crying. And now I found out you were laughing.
Only in the long shot.
All right, Jorge, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. Beth, we love you too. We can't wait for your next podcasting team adventure.
Oh, okay, great. Yes. Yes, there's something possibly to be done this summer.
Oh, really?
Maybe. We'll see.
All right.
Stay tuned. We'll see if we make an announcement.
All right, cool. All right.
If I'll still work with her.
Is she difficult to work with?
I can see where she'd be difficult.
She's... She's what? No, I'm not saying anything.
Oh.
Well, it's like I'm hoping to run some bloopers of her getting mad at me when we're trying to record the podcast. It's like for me, I was like, yeah, let's do it, and we'll just kind of you know, we just kind of record and then put it out there. But I mean, because Beth really stressed about it. I mean, she did a lot. She did most of the work. She did most of the work, and once I showed her how to actually post them up on like the hosting site and how to like do stuff like ping feed binner, she ended up doing almost all of it. And then I would throw in ideas like, hey, put the Pepe Le Pew thing in there. And, you know, I was more on the creative side.
I did enjoy that. That
you know,
was good.
Like Jack. Yeah. I was like kind of like Jack this one. You know.
That's the best way to do a podcast.
We're just here to bring the gold.
I've been telling Jay that for 5 years.
Beth, I feel your pain. You spend hours working on something, and then Jack shows up and goes, what if we did this? It's like, shut up.
It's fun. Yeah, it's always, cool. As far as like, I think all two-man podcasts are like that. There's one person that has to bear the brunt of the work. And,
yeah, people and, we're, be
and we
questions.
Have to be the eye candy.
Exactly. Well, we both pull it off.
All right, guys.
All right. Thank you very much. And, sure. We'll talk to you later.
Right on. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.